great future. We're talking real money.
Well, since it's Friday, it must be time for another question and answer edition of the Talking Real Money podcast. Hi, everybody. I am Don McDonald. So thrilled that you could join me for four questions and four answers to those questions. Because they're still coming in a little slowly. I like doing five, but we're going to do four until the pace of questions sent in at talkingrealmoney.com goes up a little bit more. So for now, we're going to get four a week, and I've got four good ones lined up. I take them in the order they're received, unless, of course, it's Crypto Bob. Otherwise, I take them in the order they're received, at least for now, because generally they're pretty good questions. So I think we should get started with the first one right now.
Hi, my name is Doug. I'm calling because I just have a question of how we should continue to invest in the future. We're both ages 69, and we've got much more in our portfolio than we need. I've always been an aggressive investor, with stocks being 90 to almost 100% of our portfolio at times. We're currently at 80-20. I haven't started taking Social Security yet. That'll be starting in a few months, actually. So we're going to have much more than we need for our living expenses, for travel, for whatever. We've started doing things like giving money to the kids, telling the families we will fund the grandchildren's college educations, etc. But that should still leave us with much more than we'll need for our retirement, even with travel expenses, etc. I've seen some articles saying that we should invest more conservatively when you've got more than you need. And I guess that's my question. Should I continue to be aggressive? And currently we're at 80% equity, 20% bonds, all in index funds. Or should we be tending to go more conservative? I'll say I've invested aggressively throughout, never panicking, whether it was October of 87, I believe it was 87, the 2000s and the 2007-2008 market adjustment. So your opinion would be appreciated. Thank you.
This is a great problem to have. You have too much money. That's awesome. So it does mean we believe in investing based on your risk profile. And your risk profile is a combination of your risk tolerance, on yours is high, and your need to take risk, which in your case is very low. So that equation, if you were just to go strictly on that equation, you're going to be, at this point, a pretty conservative investor. But it really depends on what you want to do with the money. You say you're going to have more than you can ever get rid of, but what if you eventually start taking some of the required distributions from a retirement plan and giving those to charities? Well, then you can afford to continue to be aggressive with that money because you want to give the charities as much as possible. And if it doesn't work out that it's a big distribution, then no big deal. So I think it really has to be what's most comfortable for you and what fits your purposes for this money at this point. If it's just going to sit there and go to heirs, you can afford to be aggressive there too. But at this point, you don't have to be, although it sounds like you're very comfortable being. So, I mean, you can continue to be aggressive because it's not going to change your lifestyle if the world falls apart. It's just personal. It really is at this juncture. It's just personal. I got to tell you, if I was at this point, I would definitely set up some sort of a charitable thing because I don't want to make my kids. They can have some, but I'd rather them have it like you're doing now than later. They can't have it now. So don't get any ideas, kids, because I don't have that much. But it's a personal call. It really is. You know, split the difference. Do a 60-40 portfolio, and you'll probably be a very happy camper, as will some charities or your kids down the road. Thanks so much for the question. I really appreciate it. And, of course, another one came in shortly thereafter at talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form. You just use a microphone on your computer or your phone to record your question, and they get answered on the Friday podcast. And here's our next question.
Hey, Don and Tom. This is Jesse in Seattle. I know you guys generally don't like annuities, but I had a quick question for you. I'm nowhere near retirement, so this isn't really an issue for me. I just kind of wanted your opinion. With long-term care insurance costs being as high as they are, what do you guys think about a deferred income annuity or a QLAC that you could hold in a retirement account? I hear that QLACs, for example, are exempt from RMDs until 85 years of age. So it seems like you could use a QLAC to defer some distributions until 85, and then that would help, you know, potentially protect against longevity risk and provide an income floor in case you need long-term care or, you know, there's increased medical costs in old age. Anyway, looking forward to hearing your thoughts. Thanks a lot. Bye.
This is an overthinking kind of question, I think. I really do. Do you need a QLAC? Probably not. And by the way, this is how they work. You take money out of your IRA or qualified plan that's a taxable plan in the future, and you use that money to buy a future fixed annuity that's going to pay you a lifetime income when you're much older. And it's a guaranteed income. But it has the same exact downside of any other immediate annuity, and that is you're giving a whole bunch of money to the insurance company, and you don't own it anymore. They can invest it however they see fit, and they know that they're going to be big money ahead, and you are just, as a matter of fact, if you start taking it at 85, unless you live well into your 90s, maybe even hundreds, you're barely going to get back what you put in most cases. So from a financial standpoint, it's kind of like cutting off your nose to spite your face. I don't think they're worth it to most clients. I do think they're worth it to the insurance agents who sell them because they probably get a really hefty commission, as with most insurance products. But would I get one? No. Would I suggest them except under the most specific of absolute needs at some point in the future? I can't even imagine what that would be. I'm not seeing an advantage. Once again, I'm seeing something the insurance company created to insurance companies created to try and make them richer. And it's always at your expense. It's always at your expense. Send your question in talkingrealmoney.com, or hey, by the way, you can call us on Saturdays, every single Saturday, except a big holiday like Christmas, at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Just call between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. That's noon to 2 on the West Coast. And we can actually have a conversation, which is really fun. But these are fun too. And we have another one right here.
Hello there. I was calling because I got a case of hodgepodgeitis, as you call it. In the 90s, I opened a 401k and invested in whatever was available. And I left that employer and moved it to a rollover IRA that is now sitting with E-Trade. And it's just kind of sat there. And so I was trying to go through and clean that up with the advice that you've given on your podcast. But my question before I take an action is, if I sell the mutual funds that I invested in 20 years ago and reinvest in ETFs, will that result in a tax consequence? So the symbol that I have all $40,000 in is PRDGX. So trying to understand if a rollover IRA, in, you know, that was originally a traditional 401k, is treated like a traditional 401k, and I can buy and sell mutual funds and ETFs inside and out of that, and the, you know, gains and losses are not taxed until I make withdrawals on that. Just looking for some confirmation. Thank you, and thanks for all you guys do. Take care.
So you suffer. At least it's not fatal. Well, no, it's not fatal. could be damaging, but not fatal. Hodgepodgeitis, it afflicts many of us, or has afflicted many of us. Glad to hear that you're looking for the cure. You do not have a problem, though. Anything you sell in a qualified retirement account, like a 401k or an IRA, Roth, whatever that might be, 403, anything you sell in there and then repurchase something else within that account has no taxable event. There is no taxable event. No capital gains, no taxes owed. The only tax you owe is when you take the money out at the end. So no matter what you do, go from a fund to an ETF, which is a good idea. Plus, you're in PRDGX, which is the T. Rowe Price Dividend Growth, which is an actively managed fund and much more expensive than most index ETFs. The expense ratio is 0.64, and you can get an ETF that's broadly diversified in equities for 2 or 3/100ths of 1%. Teeny tiny fraction of that. So yeah, make the change. Absolutely, positively, and thanks for the question. I appreciate it. Again, go to talkingrealmoney.com or call us on Saturdays at 855-935-8255. Next question.
Hi, Tom and Don. My name is Gary, 52 years old, retiring with a pension. I get money set aside in 457, and I got my emergency fund in high yield savings account. I'm kind of lazy and would like to make my life easy. I opened a taxable account with Fidelity, and I'm planning to invest extra money monthly on 3 funds. I'm thinking 60% AVGE, 30% BND, and 10% AVUV. Is this sustainable? Thank you.
Well, you know yourself. It's important that we know ourselves. You're a lazy investor. Well, that's a pretty lazy portfolio. Doesn't require a lot of work. I mean, the laziest portfolio of them all would be a target date fund. You just let them rebalance it for you based on your age. But this is a pretty easy deal. You've got the whole world with a value tilt. You've got the entire U.S. bond market, and you've got small cap value. I think that's a nice mix. The only trick, and this is the part that may tax you a little bit once a year or so, is every year you ought to look at it. And if it's out of balance, if, for example, the AVGE got up to 65 and the BND went down to 25, then sell some of the AVGE and buy a little BND to get you back to your original ratios. Otherwise, that's a pretty darn lazy portfolio. Good for you. And thank you for being there. And thank you all for helping out and asking questions. Because every time you ask a question, you help a lot of other people with similar questions. I think that's why the question and answer episodes are always the most popular. 5 out of our top 10 episodes in total listenership are question and answer podcasts. And we've got in any given week, we have 4 that aren't Q&A and 1 that is. So that tells you they're pretty popular. Thanks for making them popular, and thanks for being a part of it. And thanks for telling people about what we do, sending them our way, because in the podcast business, it's definitely the more the merrier. And remember, again, call us on Saturdays. We love to hear from you. It keeps us out of trouble. 855-935-8255, which spells talk. And it's every Saturday, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, noon to 2 Pacific Time. Now it's time to get out of here. Take care of yourselves. We'll talk at you soon. And when we talk, we'll be talking real money.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions. Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy. Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone. This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services. Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast.
And the lawyers get richer.